the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we are off. It's a Wednesday night. It's good to have you with us. We got much planned over the next couple of hours. A ton in the National Football League, including the professor, John Clayton, who is about 12 minutes away, joining us live from Seattle. John Osher at 8. And then we will track money late next hour. We'll head back out west. We'll go to Las Vegas. Take a look at everything that's happening as far as the big games this weekend in college football. And I say that tongue-in-cheek because, once again, we're into double digits as far as games that have already been canceled, and including one in the ACC came down today, Duke-Wake Forest. I mean, you throw everything out the window when you have Wake and Duke. USF scheduled to host the Naval Academy. That's not going to happen as well. I'm starting to get really nervous about everything that's happening in college football. And, you know, that's one of the deals I'm going to ask John Clayton when he joins me here in just a few minutes. Roger Goodell today came up with new COVID-19 protocols that are now going to be in place for all 32 teams for the rest of the year. You know, really citing the holidays. And obviously, a lot of folks get off work, you get with family, you get with friends, just much more of an opportunity to spread this virus, and the numbers really continue to explode. And the NFL is going to be all right. They'll get these games in. College football, man, I just don't know what to expect at this particular time. And with college basketball, I mean, there's a full slate of ball games beginning 1 week from tomorrow, 1 week from tonight. It just makes no sense to me at this time. None. I mean, I can't believe they're starting college basketball when they are. Am I wrong here? You can't see that thing just completely imploding by, you know, early December, for crying out loud. I just don't know why they're even going to do it, but they are, and you know, I hope for the best. I certainly don't want to see it get crumbled, but I have no faith, none whatsoever, that we are going to get anywhere near close to a complete college basketball season. And they're starting this bad boy way too soon, in my opinion. All right, more hoops tonight, including the NBA draft, getting ready to get underway later on this hour. We'll keep you updated with all the movement that takes place there, including a couple of Noles who are expected to go very early. Devin Vassell and Patrick Williams both could end up going, you know, in the top 10, possibly top 15 at the very latest. And again, we'll certainly let you know what happens as we move throughout the first round of the NBA draft. All right, staying with the alma mater, Chubba Purdy's season is over for Florida State. And you know, there's no other way to say it. This is just awful. It really is. It's been such a destructive season for Florida State. I mean, everything that they've done has fallen apart. It's been a complete disaster. There's really no other way to say it. I mean, here it is Wednesday night. They're a 35-point underdog at home this Saturday at high noon against Clemson. And it's just been as bad as you could possibly believe it ever could be over there. But I tweeted it out. It was my only tweet Saturday. I actually thought Florida State got better last week. I thought they did in the second half against North Carolina State. One of the reasons for that is we got to see a little bit of the development of Chubba Purdy in the second half. It's almost as if they took the training wheels off. I mean, the first couple of games, 0-for-9 against Louisville, and there was 4 or 5 drops in that game by Florida State wide receivers. And then he was really thrown to the wolves against Pittsburgh. His average per attempt was 1.8, okay, in a 12-for-21 effort for 38 yards. I mean, that's what he did. And, you know, early on against North Carolina State, they didn't do a lot to try to improve him. I thought it was way too much of the dinking and the dunking and throwing the football, you know, east and west and behind the line of scrimmage and, you know, a screen game that is not working because Florida State wide receivers have absolutely zero clue on how to block downfield. It's just little things like that. And then suddenly, you know, Mike Norvell and Kelly Dillingham, they allow him to throw the football in the second half, and he put up some decent numbers in Raleigh against NC State. 15 to 23, 181, a couple of touchdowns, no picks. And, you know, I saw something. What does this mean? Well, to me, it means a lot. This young man, Chubba Purdy, needed these last four games. He needed the snaps. He needed the reps. The experience for him was enormous. I mean, even if Florida State is to lose all four of these games, okay, or I guess there's only three left, they're going to get absolutely crushed by Clemson. We get that. We understand that. Virginia's a much better team than Florida State, so they're going to beat them. You know, going to Duke, we'll see. That's on the road. Who knows what to expect there. But I really wanted him to get those games in, to get more of an opportunity to really take over as the commander of this football team. And three games and an opportunity to do that would only help him going into the offseason. Instead, once again, it's the problem with the collarbone. He has had surgery. He is shut down now for the remainder of the year. Now, I know you may be saying it doesn't matter, Baloo. They're 2-6. They're awful, you know. And I get that. I'm with you. But, I mean, this is so typical for this Florida State team that everything that you could possibly expect to go wrong has gone wrong. I don't care if Chubba Purdy walked out there and lost these three games against Clemson, Virginia, and Duke. He would become a better quarterback by playing in them and getting ready for the 2021 season. What does that mean? 2021 is going to turn around, and it's going to be the same mess. You don't know if it's Purdy. You don't know if it's Jordan Travis. You don't know if it's Tate Rodemaker. You don't know if it's the incoming freshman quarterback. And I know there's a lot of rumors now that he could flip and go to another school, and Florida State doesn't really have a backup plan there. But if there's one thing that you could get out of this season, I was at least hoping that it was Chubba Purdy is your starting quarterback in 2021. And he's coming off the best performance in his very young career. You know, that second half, particularly the fourth quarter against NC State. Now that's ripped apart. You know, Travis is going to come back and play. I really like Jordan Travis. Okay, but he's a running quarterback. He can't throw. And Clemson's going to annihilate this young man. What are the chances, honestly? What are the chances of Jordan Travis finishing the game against Clemson on Saturday? I'll give it to you right now, free. Zero. Zip. Nada. There is no chance that this man, who seems to go out almost every game anyway with an injury, there's no chance that he is going to finish the contest against the Clemson Tigers. Clemson lost 14 days ago against Notre Dame. They are absolutely steaming, and they're going to bulldozer this guy. I'm saying he gets knocked out by probably the second quarter. So you're going to see Tate Rodemaker, and who knows, you may see walk-ons under center for Mike Norvell in Florida State coming up on Saturday. I think it's a big blow. I do. I mean, it was the best I felt about this team all year, the way they played in the fourth quarter. I just saw the tiniest glimpse of hope, littlest, just a speck of it. And now that's been thrown out again because of the surgery here for Chubba Purdy. So there you go. That's that. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Again, that line continues to move. More money coming in on Clemson. Last look is 35 points. We'll go to Rafael Esparza next hour. Take a look at the money on that particular matchup, as well as some of the other big games that are going on this weekend in college football, as well as the National Football League. All right, let's get to the professor, John Clayton. He's up next. Let's talk to him about everything that is going on in the NFL. Plenty of ways for you to join us tonight. You can get me on Twitter. That's Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Also tonight on our text line, 641-1010. We're just underway. Good to have you with us. My name's Rick Ballou.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, join us tomorrow live from Mr. Chubby's, Ponte Vedra, 6 to 8. The brand new restaurant used to be Bogey's. Party sponsored by Miller Lite. I'll have tickets for the Jaguars Steelers, special guests. And again, plenty of Miller Lite giveaways, Miller Lite beer specials, 6 to 8 in Ponte Vedra. It's a driver in three wood from Sawgrass and a driver in three wood from Michaelers Beach. Hope to see you out there 6 to 8 on Friday. John Clayton, he is a professor. You've heard him for years on ESPN. He is with 710 ESPN in Seattle. You also get him on NFL Sirius XM Radio. And it's always good to have him here with Rick Ballou. John, I appreciate a few moments. How you been?
Hanging in there. How are you enjoying the sidelines in this unusual season?
Man, John, it's I miss it. I miss getting with you when Seattle is here or what have you. But it's really weird because I'm a guy that loves to move around behind the bench the entire time, and to be there in the front row of the stands is really kind of awkward, to be honest.
Yeah, and as you know, it's like the sidelines is one of the most favorite things I've ever done in my career. Mm-hmm. But the weird part is, you know, I'm still doing the opposing team sidelines on the Seahawks broadcast, but I'm doing it from home, which
really?
Is kind of unusual.
We do that on the road. Yeah, we do that on the road, and that's different. I mean, last week, Jacksonville and Green Bay, and, you know, I know you do, I have constant transparency with the public relations folks, and they let me know what's happening as far as injuries and stuff like that. But I miss wandering and seeing things with my own two eyes.
Yeah, me too. And that's the thing, because, you know, I'm talking not home from the home stadium. I'm talking about from home. And the weird part is, like, for me, certainly I keep in touch with the PR people from the opposing team, and then they give me the updates on injury, and each team does it differently. But the weird part is that, you know, there's a 10-second delay in the TV broadcast compared to the radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. And so, and as you know, you can't get to see what coverages are there because they're looking from the offensive side of the ball, so you can't see if it's cover one, cover three, whether it's double teams, or anything like that. It's very difficult unless you get a certain camera angle. So, yeah, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
No, it's not. It's a year of transition, and, boy, I just really hope we get back to some sort of normalcy next year. We'll have to see about the vaccine. But today's statement by Roger Goodell and the COVID-19 protocols, I mean, they're taking certainly the bull by the horns here for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, and they need to do that because obviously they keep adjusting as the pandemic gets worse around the country, and they've done a great job. You know, because I know that everybody looks at the list and see, okay, 2 weeks ago there was 45 players on the COVID list. Last week there was about 38, and then this week is probably going to be, you know, 35 to 40, and you're saying, wow, things are going bad. But in reality, it's not going as bad as you would think, you know, because what's happening is in October, there was 8 positive tests per week, 8, that's all. Mm-hmm. Then it went to 15, last week it was 17, and so, but what they've also seen is now you get later in the week to Friday and Saturday, and then you have some more positive, either positive tests or contact tests that knock players out of the games. And that's why they went through the protocol in addition to make sure that everybody wears a mask on the night before the game. Everybody kind of isolates. Everything's going to be virtual, not in meetings or anything of that nature. And that's probably the smart thing to do. And I think, you know, it goes almost back to a couple weeks ago with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Vance McDonald, because they found out before the game that he was going to test positive. Now, he played in the game, and then there had to be the fear that it was going to carry on the field. And fortunately, as you know, there's not been one player that's gotten it from another team in a game,
yeah,
which has been pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And so we've had 147 games. So now what you're looking at is that here's Vance coming on the plane back, sitting next to Ben Roethlisberger. And so Ben Roethlisberger and three other players have to go in 5-day quarantine because they sat next to a positive player who had a test.
John Clayton, our guest, joining Rick Ballew as we go into the night here on the home of the Jags, 1010 on the AM, 92.5 on the FM. Yeah, I mean, the numbers are higher, but boy, you compare that to what's going on right now in college football. I mean, it's night and day.
Oh, yeah, no question. And, you know, now it's going to be curious to see the Raiders, who lost a sixth-round pick and a lot of money for some violations of the protocol. They now have 8 defensive starters and a couple of defensive practice squad players on the COVID list. And, you know, most are expected to be back, but here they are. They're going against the Kansas City Chiefs, and now their biggest remaining game of the season. Mm-hmm. Chiefs right now have 3 offensive linemen on the COVID list, and so something has to give here. But you've got 8 starters out there, and you wonder, okay, who didn't have the mask?
Yeah, no doubt that is an issue. Injuries as well have exploded. I know I talked with you before the start of the year, and you could kind of foresee this, even though these are tremendous athletes and they work out on them with themselves, not being aided with the conditioning, strength and conditioning coaches and things along those lines, has played a toll with a lot of soft cell injuries.
Yeah, it really has. And that was very predictable. Go back to 2011 when they had the lockout and there was no off-season program. You know, there was double the number of Achilles tears, 44% increase in hamstring injuries, and then over 50 ACL tears, okay? So you can see this was going to be even worse this year because not only was there no off season, but there was no training camp. And so I've been charting, because what I do is I chart missed starts. And missed starts, of course, I'm not double dipping. Like, for example, if a left tackle's down and he's out for the season, his replacement, I don't put any on him. So mm-hmm. I put it on the starter himself. It's up 40% right now compared to last year. I mean, we're already over like about 1,100 missed starts on the way to over 2,000, and there's never been that many. Because also what you have to include is that you have the COVID players that get scratched. They get on the list. And so right now, with 14 games with 2 bye weeks, two games bye for the while, I mean, you're still averaging about 125 per week, which is incredibly big.
That is a huge number. John, Pittsburgh comes in here this weekend. Jacksonville's had a nice little rivalry with Pittsburgh in their 26 years of their franchise. They've had success against them both here and on the road. They're the only undefeated team remaining in the NFL. Why do I not fully believe, though, that Pittsburgh is still the team to beat in the NFL?
Yeah, because of Kansas City. As simple as that. Because, say what you want. It's like Ben Roethlisberger is going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they got 2 great receivers, Chase Claypool, who's been a fantastic rookie, and they have a great one in Juju Smith-Schuster. But then you look at Patrick Mahomes. Hey, Patrick Mahomes has fast wide receivers himself, a great tight end, and a pretty good offensive line. And I think at the moment, I don't know if you agree with me or not, mm-hmm. but Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback today. Not maybe in the years past, but today compared to Ben Roethlisberger, who's in MVP race. But right now, Mahomes is got the lead right now that Russell Wilson is starting to drop back a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You got a big game tomorrow night. You'll be covering a big game tomorrow night as the sideline reporter on the Seahawks radio broadcast. I know Arizona's coming off the Hail Mary and everyone's talking about them. How believable is Arizona right now as to what they've done so far this year, right there neck and neck with the Seahawks?
Yeah, pretty believable because I thought they were going to be the most improved team in football, and clearly they have been. And I remember I said that last year about San Francisco, and they won 13 games and went to the Super Bowl. So I was thinking their improvement was going to get them to 9 wins, and clearly they're going to be better than that because they're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they have the most yards they've ever had in franchise history, thanks to Kyler Murray. The DeAndre Hopkins trade was one of the best in the last couple of years to go with the Stephon Diggs trade in Buffalo. And so now what you're looking at with Murray, I mean, he's a great quarterback, just getting better and better and better. I mean, you can watch his play and compare it very much to Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens when he went from year 1 to year 2. And so Murray is right now, he's edging up into the MVP race. But there's a defining play for the good teams of the future. They kind of do it. I mean, you had the Hail Mary in Dallas. You had the Fail Mary with Seattle. I mean, you had the tuck rule with New England. You go through all those immaculate reception in Pittsburgh. Well, they had the Hail Murray last week.
Mm-hmm.
The Hail Murray was fantastic, and I think it just bodes well. Now, the only difference is, you know, they're going to be very thin on the defensive line because at the moment they only have three healthy defensive linemen, and I don't know what you think of Josh Morrow, but he's right now a starter.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and so
yeah, go ahead, John.
To me, that's a little scary.
It is. We saw Amir for, you know, he had a cup of coffee, but yeah, that is the case, you know, around the league. And final moment with John Clayton. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the year that Indy won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, I want to say they had the worst rushing defense in the NFL, and it was remarkable that they were that successful because of that. So, you know, when I look at Seattle, I think they're, what, 30th in the league? They're allowing nearly 30 points a game. I mean, can they really carry this over into January football if they're giving up that amount of points?
No, they can't. Because Peyton was the one who educated me on this. It's like, if you have a defense that's giving up over 27 points a game, you put more pressure on the offense and the quarterback because now he realizes that every drive must be a touchdown. And if that's the case, you throw more interceptions. And so now here without a running game for the last 4 weeks because their top three running backs are injured and a secondary right now that's completely obliterated with injuries, you know, they've now given up, they came into last week giving up 362.1 yards a game passing. They're really not bad stopping the run, but no, this formula, you know, it can't work if it's going to go into the playoffs. Now, if they can win the game tomorrow, they're going to be in decent shape because then they'll have a lead in the division. They have four easy games coming up, three against NFC East teams and the New York Jets. So they could be sitting at 11-3 going into their last two games against the Rams at home and San Francisco on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose it, all of a sudden the edge goes to Arizona and the Rams because this will be the third loss in the division by the Seahawks.
Boy, it's such a hard conference to figure out. I mean, Drew Brees goes down. You know, certainly you look at Tampa Bay and Brady and what he's doing at his age. I mean, we just watched Green Bay last week here against Jacksonville. Much like Seattle, Green Bay's given up like 26 points a game. I don't know if that's January worthy, if they can win games allowing that amount of points per contest.
Yeah, but that's the one thing. I mean, this is such a different year. I mean, did you ever think you're going to see Tennessee, which looked to have a good defense, at one point at 61.9% third down conversion allowed? I mean, it's so set up for offense right now with the limited number of holding plays, with the increased number record. Really, you have to go back 20 years to the last time there was this many defensive pass interference calls,
right?
And those are big plays. And then, of course, here you add the best receiver crop we've ever had, you know, with the 25 receivers that were drafted in the first three rounds. And you look at that and you go, wow, quarterbacks, it's a quarterback driven league even more so than ever before.
John, I'll leave you with this. Here in Jacksonville on a week to week basis, you get more fans coming over to the side of, I hope they lose the rest of them so they can get the number one pick. If not the number two pick, they almost mistakenly won a game at Lambeau last week, and obviously Mike Tomlin is doing everything he can to not allow his team to overlook the Jaguars here on Sunday. On paper, it says they lose the next seven, but as you know, the games are not played on paper.
No, that's true, and of course, I mean, you know that there's no effort to tank because, you know, everybody's job's in jeopardy right now if they have such a bad season, and even if they get the first pick in the draft. It's like, okay, there's no intent to be able to tank the season for a quarterback, but of course, if you tank the season for a quarterback, it's still probably not going to work because the Jets may not win a game, or at the very least be 1-15. And so, unless you're 1-15, you're not going to get the first pick.
Yeah, you're right about that, John. It's always a pleasure. I know we'll talk again soon here down the road. Thank you as always.
Okay, Rick. Thanks.
There he goes, John Clayton, one of the very best. There's no doubt. Just a named the professor. He is a think tank. And he's a numbers guy. I love it. He actually charts non-starts. I think that's wonderful. Does a real good job. I miss him on ESPN, but he is on ESPN 710 in Seattle. And every once in a while, he's on NFL's XM Sirius radio. But he's one of the real good guys in the league. And he actually, whenever the Jags and the Seahawks matchup, they've been here twice since I've been the sideline reporter a couple of years back when you had that incident where a player ran in, you know, into the stands. And then it was last year, I believe, Seattle was here. Clayton actually does the opponent's sideline. So he's not on the Seattle sideline. He's on Jacksonville sideline here on the Seahawks radio broadcast. And he is just, I mean, you talk about a ball of fire. He is just phenomenal. I mean, like, my phone beeps quite a bit. You know, it's buddies of mine or whatever. They're, what's going on with this guy? What's going on with this guy? And obviously, I got a job to do. So for the most part, I ignore everything. But when he's here, he's like on, I'll be on like one side of the field and he's on the other. And all of a sudden, I look at my phone is blowing up. He's like, you got this. You got, I mean, he is just so into his job, which I'd like to think I am as well. He's just a pleasure to talk football with. The great John Clayton. But, man, he really believes in Arizona. I'm still want to see a little bit more there. And, you know, that'll be an entertaining game tomorrow night. That's certainly going to be a good one. I think, you know, for the most part, you can say that Arizona now has kind of put themselves a little bit more on the map, you know, after the theatrics that took place over the weekend. You got to go into Seattle now and win that game. And the Seahawks defense is gross. Man, they are just terrible. It's amazing they're 6-3. You know, I'm looking at the numbers right now. If you look at team-related defensive numbers, all right, and, you know, they always rank it by score. They always rank it by total defense, which is yards allowed. Was that a little bit of an issue with that? To me, scoring defense is the most important number. I mean, same like in baseball. I always look at runs scored. I mean, you play the game to score runs, right? And I understand that you can drive in runs, and that's very important, RBIs, what have you. But you can look at numbers any way that you want. To me, defensively, the most important number is points allowed per game. Dallas is worst in pro football. They allow 32.2. Jacksonville is 31st in the NFL. They allow 30.1. Okay, the New York Jets, winless, 29.8. Detroit, 29.7. Then you get to Seattle with a winning record, 6-3. They're allowing 29.7 points a game. I mean, think about that for a moment. How in the hell are they winning on a week-to-week basis when they're allowing 30 points a game? It's absolutely amazing. And we just talked about Green Bay last week. I remember the numbers from last week's set of shows. Green Bay was giving up 25.5 points a game. It's because they score. Look at the two teams. Seattle in scoring, number one in pro football, 32.2. That's less than 3 points a game. 32.2, 29.7. That's the difference scoring and scoring allowed. Green Bay, they score 30.8 points a game. I think last week they were like 31.2. Jacksonville held them under their scoring average. It's just insane. At least it is in my mind. All right, thank you to John Clayton. Appreciate that. We'll come back, got some more on the National Football League. Much more coming up as well. With the Jacksonville Jaguars, we will have John Osher. His weekly visit, he'll join us at 8 o'clock. He is the senior writer from Jaguars.com. That's coming up at 8. Any comments that you would like to make after the conversation I just had with John Clayton? Best way to get a hold of me, Baloo1010XL on Twitter. You can also get me on the text line, 641-1010.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
NBA draft begins in, what, 18 minutes?
Roundabout, it's getting about that time.
They pushed it back. They told us 7:30, and, you know, they're always teasing. That's just the way they do things. This draft's a little unlike most drafts where you have the hands-down, unanimous number one pick. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be LaMelo Ball, or is it going to be Georges Anthony Edwards?
I think it's going to be Anthony Edwards with the first overall pick. I just don't know about the backcourt of LaMelo Ball and D'Angelo Russell. I just don't see that possibility really working out. I think they need a guy that's more scoring ready to catch passes, you know, off the dribble from a D'Angelo Russell. Right now, I think Golden State is going to choose LaMelo at number two. Klay Thompson, just before we got on the air, suffered another leg injury that's going to require surgery. So now with Steph Curry coming back, he's going to need a backcourt mate, and LaMelo Ball may have just iced himself into the number two pick, a place where his dad didn't want him to go, but I think this may be the place for him.
James Wiseman got so much pub a year ago. I'm trying to remember, how much did he play? He only played a handful of games?
He only played three games.
Now, yeah, I thought so. I thought it was just a handful. All right, so they're legitimate 7'1", 230, 240-pound big man inside.
Right, but now I forget who I was listening to, but it makes sense. Centers in the NBA are like running backs in the NFL. You can find them anywhere, and if you've looked at the championship teams, they haven't really had a dominant big man. They've always got big men on the cheap. The Lakers did the same thing with JaVale McGee and also Dwight Howard and then DeMarcus Cousins before he got injured. So Wiseman, they kind of try to compare him to a Karl Anthony Towns or an Anthony Davis, and I know they're thinking about later on down the line. If he goes number three to Charlotte, I think that's going to be a good place for him to possibly be with guards that'll get him the ball. But the era of the centers is slowly disappearing.
That's so surprising, considering this league forever. I mean, you can go back to the days of George Mikan, but you can go to Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. And then even, you know, a little bit smaller centers, great scoring centers like, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon. But look, you're a Lakers fan, for crying out loud. Look at, you had Wilt, you had Jabbar, and then you had Shaq.
Yeah.
I mean, three, Wilt, Jabbar, and Shaq, absolutely Wilt and Jabbar, but you're talking three of the top 10 greatest players of all time. Maybe with Shaq we can get top 12, top 15, but three incredibly dominant centers.
Absolutely, and you'd probably look at Shaquille O'Neal as probably, you can make the argument with Wilt as well, but the most dominant center, you know, of all time. But you have Wilt, all-time leader in points scored. Shaquille O'Neal, who was just, I mean, a menace when he was in his prime, especially in Orlando when he was slim. And then Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, was just giving it to everybody, scoring 100 points, averaging 50 in one season. So it's funny just how the era of the back-to-the-basket big man dump it down inside has now gone, and it's kind of evolved into this, you know, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Dirk Nowitzki, more face-up, you know, jump shot, stretch five kind of a big man. When it used to not be that way.
Yeah, I used to say this for a very long time. The greatest quarterbacks who ever have played the game have won a Super Bowl. You can count on one hand the great quarterbacks who have not. That list begins with Dan Marino. All right? Dan Fouts, you can put on that list. Jim Kelly, you went to four Super Bowls, you can put on that list. Fran Tarkenton, who went to, I believe, three Super Bowls, you can put on that list. All right, you know, then you may give me a Randall Cunningham or a Warren Moon or, you know, some stuff like that. I understand that the better years, not the better years, but a lot of his years were spent in the Canadian Football League. Anyway, that's a worthy conversation. The greatest centers who have ever played all have rings except for Patrick Ewing.
Yes.
Is there anyone else that I'm missing? I mean, think of the top 10 centers in the history of the NBA. I can't think of one outside of Patrick Ewing. That's what's so interesting about how you're saying that the center position is kind of becoming like the running back position in the NFL.
Yeah, because now it's you really don't need that. The back to the basket center is almost obsolete. I mean, you look at a guy like Andre Drummond, he had to sign his player option to stay in Cleveland, which he probably didn't want to stay in Cleveland, but he's not going to get $20 million anywhere else because his play style and how he plays is not needed in today's NBA. You thought DeAndre Ayton was going to bring back the back-to-the-basket center, but that's not going to happen. But if you look at all the great teams or the dominant teams in this year's NBA, like I said, the Lakers, the Bucks had the Lopez twins, and they're no longer back-to-the-basket centers. They're now trying to be stretch bigs. You also look at the Clippers. They really didn't have a great back-to-the-basket center. Houston has no centers. Their center, tallest guy on the team, was 6'7". So it's weird because I think I grew up with the last great bastion of back-to-the-basket centers. I mean, I grew up with, like, David Robinson when he was kind of on the out, and Shaq and Yao Ming and all those guys, and now you look at it, and everybody's trying to be Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Durant, or Kevin Garnett when he was in Boston.
Yeah, you know, I should have caught this because he's actually a buddy of mine, and I love talking with him. But Artis Gilmore doesn't have an NBA championship, but he did win it in the ABA.
Yes.
And again, you make the case that some of his better years were there. He was also on the 84 or 86 Celtics. But didn't stay for the entire year when that happened. But I just looked at a list here, the 25 best players in the NBA without a rank. First off, they list Allen Iverson at number 25, which is a complete joke. Allen Iverson should be in the top five as far as I'm concerned. I'm just going to see if I can find any centers here. Jack Twyman, that's going way back. He was a guard. Chris Mullin, you got to be kidding me. Chris Mullin. Grant Hill, I mean, he's got to get injured too early in his career. David Thompson, all right, the Skywalker. All right, he was pretty much a one-dimensional player. Tracy McGrady, yeah, all right, put up some decent numbers. Dikembe Mutombo never won a ring.
Never did. He was on that NBA Finals runner-up team, though, in 2000
with the Hawks. Iverson. He was in Philly. He was in Atlanta.
He was in Atlanta. He was in Denver.
We need to put Dikembe Mutombo on that list. Arguably the greatest defensive center in the history of the game, not named Bill Russell.
I would second that argument.
Walt Bellamy. All right, this is before my time. He played 61 through 75. I mean, he played for the Chicago Packers, the Baltimore Bullets, the Knicks, Pistons, Atlanta Hawks, and the New Orleans Jazz. All right, if you want to feed me Walt Bellamy, okay, I'll swallow that. Yao Ming, give me a break. Who came up with this list?
Well, Yao Ming did have a great eight-year run, but then his foot got to him. I will tell you this. In 2009, Houston and Yao Ming gave the Lakers a scare. And I don't care who you are, if you're a Lakers fan or just an NBA fan in general. You know if Yao Ming didn't get injured in that series, Yao Ming was killing the Lakers. He was doing whatever he wanted to do.
I know, but we're talking about the 25 best players who haven't won a ring. And then all of a sudden, up next is Adrian Dantley. I mean, Adrian Dantley was absolutely filthy. For crying out loud. All right, Russell Westbrook, Sidney Moncrief. Talk about another guy that was filthy out in Milwaukee. Bob Lanier. That one I'll give you. Bob Lanier. Absolutely. With Milwaukee as well. And Detroit. Mm-hmm. Bob Lanier on that, you know, on some of those teams with Sidney Moncrief. You know, the Iceman, George Gervin, Dominique. He's on that list. There's Patrick Ewing. They got him at 10. George Yardley, I don't even know who he was way back. Reggie Miller, Steve Nash, James Harden, Charles Barkley we're familiar with, Karl Malone, absolutely. I still can't believe when Malone and Payton went to L.A., they didn't win it.
It's interesting. There's a book that just came out. A guy was chronicling the Lakers' year when they had Malone and Payton. And that was just a big debacle because the Kobe trial was also during that time. So it was way too many egos.
John Stockton didn't get it. Let's see. Number two is Chris Paul, who's been moved again.
Moved to Phoenix.
Yeah. And number one, Elgin Baylor, who's a forward, but, you know, maybe played a little bit of the center position. So, yeah, I mean, Ewing – in Dikembe Mutombo, I'm going to give you. I guess Artis Gilmore although it's tough to put Artis on there because of all of his success in the ABA. So, yeah, it's how the game has changed is interesting. After, you know, what you're telling us tonight, RJ, we will see. All right, we're about 8 minutes away from the first pick in the NBA draft. I'll keep you updated during our second hour. All right, let's get ready for John Osher. Let's get back to the Jaguars. Today, Doug Marrone did talk about Laviska Shenault, and, you know, he was unable to give it a go today. As a matter of fact, let's give you this real quick. Here is Doug Marrone today on Shenault as well as Doug Costin. Remember, this past weekend, Costin was out with the concussion, and Laviska Shenault did not play with the recurring injury he has with a hamstring.
Doug has cleared a concussion protocol, so he's back at practice, so he's full. Laviska will be out today, and then he'll do some work on the side, and then we'll see where he's at tomorrow. So we're still hopeful. We have him as questionable right now.
He also went on to say today, Doug Marrone did, that they expect Brandon Linder to be back into play coming up Sunday against Pittsburgh at the center position. Only three guys did not work today. The aforementioned Laviska Shenault with that hamstring. James O'Shaughnessy with a knee didn't work today. Tyler Eifert got his weekly scheduled day off. Everyone else was limited. And it's a long list. Linder, Minshew, Dakota Allen, Devon Ozigbo, James Robinson with a shoulder. First time he's been on the injury report all year. C.J. Henderson, a groin. Sidney Jones, an Achilles. Colin Johnson, a hamstring. Cam Robinson, a shoulder. Josh Allen, a hip. Boy, are they beaten up. So that is the injury report in today for Jackson. We'll have more tomorrow. Hopefully you'll join us tomorrow out in the Pontevedra parts. Remember Bogey's Grill? It's now Mr. Chubby's. You know what that means. Incredible wings. We're going to be out there tomorrow night from 6 to 8. John Shipley from... who covers the Jaguars for SI, is going to sit in with me early. We were expecting Ron Jaworski. He has had the change on us. Are we doing Jaws on Friday? Do we know, or is it next week?
We're doing Jaws on Friday.
We're doing Jaws on Friday. You know, we are flexible for Ron Jaworski. Are you kidding us? We'll do Jaws during our Football Friday show, which is going to include Tim Brando, who I'm pretty excited about, and who's the Brooke Pryor, who does a real good job covering the Pittsburgh Steelers. She is going to join us as well. So that'll be Friday from 5 to 7. But tomorrow, 6 to 8, John Shipley would join me. Got a couple of other things lined up, including the Philly Rooster. So we'll get ready for that game tomorrow night between Seattle and Arizona. But it's at Mr. Chubby's out in Pontevedra, and it's a party sponsored by Miller Lite. I will have in my possession a couple of tickets for the Jaguars and Steelers. You got to be there to register and win. That'll be 6 to 8 tomorrow. And again, some Miller Lite beer specials. Going to be a lot of fun out there. Hopefully, if you live around those parts, Nocatee, Pontevedra, Jack's Beach, any of that, we'll see you out there tomorrow. That'll be at Mr. Chubby's, a party sponsored by Miller Lite. We'll be out there from 6 to 8.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, John Osher's with us. It's our Wednesday night conversation at 8 o'clock. What do you say, John?
Rick, how are you, buddy?
Actually, I feel like I'm coming down with a little bit of a cold. I must have picked it up this weekend at Lambeau.
Well, then you picked it up by TV, right?
I mean, exactly. I don't know what happened. You know?
Yeah, I miss a lot about traveling, but I can't say that I miss going into weather cities. But I've got to say, it doesn't affect me quite as much as it does you because I'm usually in the press box, right?
Yeah, a couple people said to me, man, aren't you lucky you're not there today? You know, it would be freezing on the sideline. I'm like, Jaguars equipment staff, they take good care of me, and I get bundled up, and my answer was, no, man. It's 3 hours. I get to go in at halftime. I love being in that environment, especially for a good game like it was this past Sunday.
Yeah, everybody who travels sort of smirks when people ask you, hey, is it awesome traveling? Because traveling's not the most fun, the actual plane trip, the road, whatever. But if you don't miss being at the game itself, then you're probably in the wrong mm-hmm. business.
Oh, no
and
doubt.
I do miss being at the game itself. I mean, yeah. At my age, I've done the road enough where traveling to the opposing cities, the process of getting there, anybody who's done it will tell you that's not the glamour people think it is. But actually being at the game, you can't replace it. You just can't.
No, and knock on wood, we were lucky because for those who travel the conventional way and have to go through airports and the chance of layovers and all that stuff, it's that much more right. of a grind. I mean, we're in and out. I tell people all the time, I mean, a lot of times we're sitting at home in front of the television after a road game by 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night.
Right. They do. Yeah. The road crews, meaning the people who do the Jags travel, do a great job in that respect.
They sure do. Yeah.
It's the ultimate perk in traveling with the team. No question.
Yep. And we don't know if we'll ever get back to it. Again, Roger Goodell issued more stringent protocols here with the holidays upon us for the remaining 7 weeks. So we'll see what does take place. Some great effort by the team. And I know talking about effort in the NFL is not what you want to hear. But, boy, they really gave Green Bay all they wanted this past Sunday.
Yeah, and all you can do, it's a broken record. If we come in here now and talk about, well, 1-8's not good enough. Obviously, everybody knows 1-8's not good enough. But all you can do is talk within the context of this team, a big-time effort, and I think some credit has to go to a defense that's figuring it out a little bit. You're finding a guy in Devon Hamilton. You're finding some guys in the secondary who I think can play. You're finding that Miles Jack is big time and he's special. And I think all those things have started coming together to seeing a little better effort in the last couple of weeks. And I do think that even though Jake Luton hasn't had numbers, I don't think it's a coincidence that he has played the last two games and you've seen some decent things out of the offense. He's not going to the Hall of Fame. He may not start after this season. But I think those two things together have improved the play a little bit over the last 2 weeks. And I shouldn't even say a little bit last week. A phenomenal effort defensively. I don't want to downplay what you have. A big-time effort defensively and a big-time effort, I think, from Jay Gruden and the offense in finding a way to get some legitimately good drives and to do within the game plan, meaning they wanted to keep that game close and shorten the game. They figured out a way to have drives that helped them do that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Hamilton because he had a monster game. And you know, that's really something that they can build on. I think you would agree with me, and I believe you said it last week, that they're going to have to strengthen the interior defensive line next year. Avery Jones has been out, and he's probably looking at the end. It just hasn't worked for Taven Bryan. But to get this out of Devon Hamilton, and now with Doug Costin coming back after the concussion, if he can be even, somewhat productive, all of a sudden they found two pretty good football players there.
Yeah, they have. I would still think, and again, you always have to say with a caveat, who knows what it's all going to look like. At 1-8, you don't know what it's all going to look like in terms of decision-making. But I still think at defensive tackle, you really need four at least, maybe five guys who could really play. But to have found two rookies who you like and who you feel like are NFL caliber players, with Hamilton seeming to be able to make some impact, then all of a sudden, if you add, I think you're going to have to draft it high still and add a big-time free agent money at some point to get you to where you've got enough of a rotation there. But before, I felt like you needed three or four. Now I feel like maybe you need two mm-hmm. at least, but better to have guys who are making plays there than not. And everything you hear is that they really think Doug Costin is an NFL-level football player. Does that mean he's a starter? Does that mean he's a good third? Whatever. I don't care. But I like hearing that you think these guys can play a long time in the league, because elsewhere at tackle, you feel like, you know, frankly, it's like you said, Avery, who has been a very good player, but how long can you play at that position inside? And then Taven, you know, I think that is what it is.
John Oshar, our guest, senior writer from Jaguars.com, joining Rick Ballew here on the home of the Jags, 1010 on the AM, 92.5 on the FM. And, you know, regardless if it's Dave, Doug, one of the aforementioned or neither, I also look at the secondary now, and, you know, it looks like Sidney Jones is going to be a corner on this team. And, you know, Trey Herndon's done some nice things now, getting more acclimated to the nickel position. And, you know, we saw Daniel Thomas play every snap last week as a rookie, a fifth-round selection. So, you know, all of a sudden, whether it works or not, and to say that all three of those guys are going to work is probably a stretch, but you're getting an idea with guys like that as to whether or not they're long-term fits for this team.
Yeah, what I don't know, it's hard to figure what Sidney Jones is going to mean, because he's free after the season. So, you would think that they would want to try to re-sign him. That's a little bit of a hanging chad, if you will, because you're just not sure how that exactly plays out. But you would think they want him, and mm-hmm. if they can get him back, then I agree. I've been saying, I'll credit Brian Sexton. After the Green Bay game this past week, he started talking about how well those two corners had played. I think a lot of people saw it. If those three guys can do what they've been doing for the most part the rest of the season, then maybe you do have three corners who you like going forward. And you've got Devon Hamilton, and you've got Miles Jack. You know, I said it before to you in the show, Rick, you can't draft everything. You can't build the entire team through the draft, because the numbers just don't add up of how you have to re-sign guys. You've got to have guys like Sidney Jones and Josh Jones. I don't know if that'll work out or not.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to have guys like Sidney Jones who you sort of find without having to pay big draft equity.
Right.
Because if you're trying to find 22 starters, you can't draft at all, because you don't have enough draft picks to do it, and you're not going to hit every one of them. So Sidney Jones is exactly what you've got to find, and you would hope they figure out a way to get that locked up so that you can take advantage of that find that you have.
Let's wrap it up with one question here against the Steelers, the only undefeated team remaining. Their front seven is just phenomenal. And, you know, now all of a sudden with Thompson going on the shelf, Robinson has had 3-plus games of 20-plus carries, but that's it. He's the only one who's run the ball all year. So, boy, I look at that and I wonder who else is going to get the football, and the amount of pressure now again on Jake Luton and only his third start.
Yeah, They really liked Devon Ozigbo during training camp. And when you would talk to people, it was sort of mentioned, yeah, don't forget about Robinson and Ozigbo. You know, everybody's talking about Fournette during training camp. So you hope that he can get the hamstring right, and you hope that he can be on the field, because in the last seven games, it's a lot to ask Robinson to carry the load for seven more games that he's carried already. But I did sort of like Jay Gruden's response when he was asked about this today. He was asked about getting Robinson more rest. And he kind of said, yeah, I'd like to. But then he also said, you know, when you're trying to establish the run, you know what this kid can do. He gave an answer that made it sound like, you know what, I get it, but boy, it's hard to take the kid out. It's hard to take the ball out of this kid's hands right now. He's a young guy. Let him run. So I don't think you're going to do very much as long as he's healthy and as long as his stamina holds up, as Jay said today.
Yeah, he got robbed of one touchdown. I mean, the A.J. Cam was a terrible call. The O'Shaughnessy one, that was a hold. But A.J.
Oh, he had to call that, yeah.
The A.J. Cam one was – that was an egregious mistake.
Yeah, and I tend not to – I think you do the same thing. I tend not to talk too much about calls that were missed because it generally evens out. That one was bad, and, you know, I guess that's the kind of thing that makes you 1-8, right? Yeah, I mean, it's that sort of thing. You've got to have some bad luck to lose 8 in a row, and I thought they had bad luck on that play.
No doubt. John, always a lot of fun. Appreciate it. See you over there this weekend.
Look forward to it, Rick.
There
Thanks
he goes.
As always, buddy.
John Osher, right there, senior writer for Jaguars.com. I think it's a fair question. Where would Leonard Fournette be? Now, listen, I know they're 1-8. I'm not saying with Fournette here, the record would be any different. But if you look at James Robinson, 9 games played, if Jacksonville was 1-8, I think a lot of people out there, first of all, would say there's no chance that Fournette would have played 9 games. He would have had an ailment of some extent, and he would have missed some time. But 155 carries for Robinson, all right, 689 yards. He's averaging 4.4 yards a carry. He's got 5 touchdowns. Remember last year, in a record-setting season for rushing touchdowns by the NFL, the Jaguars only had 3 rushing touchdowns all year. 3 by Leonard Fournette. Robinson should have double right now. Again, that was a bad call on A.J. King. He's got 5 and hasn't fumbled the ball yet. These are pretty spectacular numbers for James Robinson. It's going to be a tough putt this weekend. My goodness, are you kidding me? Going up against Pittsburgh. And, you know, I wouldn't expect large numbers for 2 reasons. Number one, Pittsburgh is a very good football team. All right, I'm not telling you something you don't know. They're the only team in the NFL that is still undefeated. But I also would project that Pittsburgh is going to get a lead in this game. So I do believe that come the second half, Jacksonville is going to be somewhat one-dimensional. Even though I listened to Jay Gruden today and, you know, they don't want to get away from what they do best. Let me see here. Pittsburgh allows 106.8 yards a game on the ground. That is 9th in the NFL. You know, they allow 19 points a game. A very good defense. So, you know, that's what it is. And that's where this team is at this particular point. But, you know, Robinson, in a year that is once again kind of lost, if you're a huge fan, you probably want some individual numbers, right? You would probably like to see James Robinson as a rookie rush for 1,000 yards. That's kind of cool. I know the 1,000-yard mark now is not as big as it once was. You know, DJ Chark's going to have to pick it up a little bit if he's going to repeat as a 1,000-yard receiver. All right, let me give you those numbers real quick before I take this break. But, you know, DJ missed a couple of games. Let's see. On the season, DJ Chark has 37 receptions for 493 yards. So he's going to have a couple of big games. And, you know, maybe he'll get that opportunity. I mean, again, I would expect the Jags are going to be certainly trailing against Pittsburgh. So that means you're going to be passing the football. And again, we'll find out about LaVisca Chenault. We should have a pretty good idea on Chenault tomorrow after what Doug Marrone said today. He was held out on this Wednesday. All right, we got much more to get into. Let's collect some comments from you. If they made the first pick yet, is it in? Who was it?
Anthony Edwards, Georgia.
It was Anthony Edwards. All right, is that then a no-brainer that the second pick becomes Ball?
I think it becomes a no-brainer, unless they like Wiseman, but with Klay Thompson being out, I think that LaMelo Ball is going to be learning and running with Steph Curry.
All right, we'll keep you updated on the NBA draft as well. We got much more to do. We'll head out to Las Vegas in about 20 minutes, check in with Rafael Esparza as well. He will join us from mybookie.com. We'll be right back.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Anthony Edwards goes number one overall, the phenomenal prospect out of Georgia. Surprised with the second pick. By the way, he goes to, who did he end up going to, crying out loud?
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Minnesota Timberwolves, okay. Hornets now on the clock. Second overall pick, though, it is James Wiseman.
That's an interesting selection. I'm pretty sure Golden State has their reasons for it. I guess that LaMelo just wasn't a guy that they see going into the future. Was interesting. I would love to hear why Golden State elected to overlook LaMelo Ball.
Yeah. So you got to believe Ball's going to go third now. What, it's that Charlotte that's
up? It's going to be Charlotte.
Yeah, and the Bulls are up. And who's number five? I believe that's Cleveland. Is it? I mean, they've given us nothing but symbols, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So
can they give us teams? I mean, I'm really not a uniform guy. I'm really not an emblem guy. I'm really
so
not
your
a
top
symbol
five picks are
guy. Minnesota, is that Cleveland at five?
Cleveland at five.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the Celtics I recognize. Some of these, I mean, I understand. I see Portland here. I guess I get them all. But I don't know. Maybe my eyes are going on me here as I try to follow it on ESPN. Maybe it's better on the NBA.com. Let me pull that up. I mean, maybe I'll just start getting away from ESPN as well. On as much as I just can't stand ESPN anymore outside of games, you know, I'm still a huge fan of ESPN.com. It remains perhaps my, you know, my favorite website, sports related, but they're really botching it tonight. I mean, just feel free to give us the name of the team. You don't have to give us freaking symbols. Can't even figure out who some of these teams are. I think I caught a cold today out at Michler's.
Were you not wearing a sweater?
I was wearing a sweatshirt. I was wearing a sweatshirt out there today.
But why always with the shorts? Can't we put on some pants?
Nah, man, I live in Florida. I don't wear pants.
But it's cold.
I wear pants for Jaguar games. That's it. You know, I wear pants if I'm going to a wedding or a funeral. But outside of that, I got to go shorts, man. I got to.
If it's cold, I got to put the pants on, man. You
you're always
me
cold. For crying out loud, you're from L.A. I mean, you know, it gets cold in Los Angeles.
It does, but it gets cold here, too, during the fall and the winter. I mean, that only lasts about 2 weeks, and then you're back in shorts again. But when it's cold, I mean, put the pants on, Rick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should take advantage of this cold and say I have, you know, I don't know what's going on and, like, just take, like, a week off. Start my Thanksgiving holiday now. I mean, they wouldn't argue with me, right?
They would not.
This is a cold, though, I can tell. I mean, yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can still get the common cold. I am the perfect example of that. Jag fans are going crazy now. I love this unique Ngakoue situation. I guess it started on Reddit where Jag fans took over. They hopped on the internet and said, let's have at it. Mass voting, trying to get Ngakoue into the Pro Bowl. They've enlisted friends from each and every part of our great country. That includes members of the NFC North in Green Bay, Detroit, and Chicago. Because the way that it reads, if Ngakoue makes the Pro Bowl, which he shouldn't, he hasn't had a good year, instead of the Jaguars getting a fifth-round pick, they would get a fourth-round pick. So really interesting with the language on this. You know, I've seen some NFL contracts over the years. My buddy Joe Camerlengo, who I mention all the time, who is with truckcrashlaw.com, he is a former NFL agent. I'm surprised the NFL would allow something like this if a player is traded. Okay? Incentives and stuff like that are put in contracts all the time. But for him to move up from a fifth to a fourth on a different team, I don't know. It just sounds a little bit fishy to me. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening here as far as I am concerned. Here's one. Thank you, Rick Ballew is my spirit animal. Pants are for formal occasions only. The rest of the time, I'm on Florida time. Absolutely. It's because I got a couple of sniffles, for crying out loud. I'm not putting any pants on. I mean, I go shorts, and that's the way it should be. You know what else I got going on? You see?
The short sleeve shirt. Oh, he's still wearing the flip-flops.
Dude, I don't wear shoes.
Doug, that's why you got sick. That's what happens.
You know when I put on shoes?
Never.
When I golf. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll rep up tomorrow. I will have a pair of shoes on tomorrow at our live remote at Mr. Chubby's. That I'll do. That much I can promise you with. But I don't know. I'm one of those guys who believes that, you know, if I wear shorts, it's going to get warmer just a little bit earlier. As crazy as that may be. All right, we're going to head out to Vegas here in just a little bit. The NFL did make a couple of announcements today. Free agency will begin, as expected, March 17th. All right, St. Patrick's Day. I can think of a couple of good things to do. Let me see. I hope that's not on a Tuesday this year. Let me see. Let me look at the 2021. I don't even think we didn't even have St. Patrick's Day last year. That's like right when the pandemic hit. March 17th is on a Thursday, baby. You got to love that. Do me a favor. Will you find out when the Players' Championship is? We looked that up, 2021. Hope it's not the same week as the start of free agency. If so, maybe I'll call the PGA Tour and ask if they'll change that. The NFL Draft will be April 29th, which has to be a Thursday, right? First round on a Thursday. Through May 1st. So, you know, the NFL's treating everything the same way. And, you know, if you look at what they did a year ago, you wouldn't think they make any changes this year. Hopefully things will be a little bit more under control by, you know, March of 2021. I just don't know what to expect. These numbers continue to spike. What'd you find?
For your 2021 Players Championship, it will be played March 9th through the 14th.
March 9th through the 14th. Ooh, I like that. All right, March 9th. I mean, this is what I love. So you got March 9th through the 14th that week, which actually begins on the 8th for me. I give it the whole week, Monday to Sunday. And then 3 days later, March 17th is actually a Wednesday. My bad. Okay, well, that's good. I mean, those are two just brilliant weeks in a row. The Players' Championship followed up by the beginning of free agency. Absolutely love that. And then you'll have the NFL Draft about 6 weeks later. It's all coming together, folks. It's all coming together. All right, let's grab a call before Rafael Esparza joins us live from Las Vegas. How you doing, Alan?
Doing great, man. How you doing, Rick?
Good, Alan.
Listen here, man. I'm going to tell you two things. One is, I'm a shorts kind of guy. I was born and raised right here in Jacksonville, Florida. All right? So I go to work. I wear a collar, shirt, I dress pretty nice, you know. But when it comes time to for closing, I put the pants on. Mm-hmm. And of course, weddings and funerals and all that bull crap. But anyhow,
yeah.
Let's talk about Ngakoue.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Here's the deal on Ngakoue. All right, let's not vote for him. Okay, I don't want to vote for him. He does not deserve it. And I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say, but I'm going to tell you right now. I'm just going to keep it to myself. He does not deserve to be voted to the Pro Bowl. And I don't care if it moves us up in the draft. He does not deserve to be voted.
No,
all I got to say, I'll take it up.
All right, thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with you. I watched him play a lot of football this year. I watched that entire game Sunday night against New England. He didn't even make a play. He had one pressure. Just for the record here, let me look up his numbers. I think he's still got 3 sacks, maybe 4 sacks. By the way, Bert here is telling me to turn my head. He can hear me. He's calling me Sniffle Boy.
Sniffle Boy. Oh, my goodness. Now.
Yeah. Maybe you should take over, and I can't even go to Glenn's Liquors. I don't know where I'm going to go. Yeah, I can tell you it's going to be one of those nights. I'm gonna pop a few melatonin, slug down a half bottle of NyQuil, and I'll be fine by tomorrow. That's what NyQuil can fix anything.
In about 24 hours. It works wonders.
In 12 hours, it'll fix it for me.
I mean, are you going to have, like, some tea with it, or?
I haven't had tea. What?
Yeah,
tea?
Like some tea, peppermint.
What the hell's tea?
Vicks Vapor
Coffee,
Rub?
Tea, or me? I've never had tea in my life.
Never?
I start with black coffee, and I end with Irish whiskey.
What a man.
I am going to go home tonight, take some aspirin. I'm going to pop some melatonin, and I'm going to chug a half a bottle of NyQuil. And around 3 a.m., my dream is going to be so deep, I'm going to have a blonde on one arm and a brunette on the other.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, I'm looking at the contract of James Robinson, who's an undrafted free agent. And Jacksonville did a nice job here because they could have, you know, just brought him in as an undrafted guy and, you know, given him the minimum that they signed him to a 3-year deal. 3 years, $2,290,000. All right. He's making $615,000 this year. Next year, he's already on the books for $780,000. And then for 2022, it jumps up to $896,000. So that is incredible money. And, you know, I hate to say it this way, but there's no telling where James Robinson will be in 3 years. Running backs get used up and spit out unlike any other position in this league. But, and I'm reading Spot Track here, and I trust him. But that's quite a deal. I mean, if you think about it, locked in for 3 more. So, you know, looking at his production and what he's been able to do, he got a signing bonus of $25,000. Wow. Average salary, $763,000 over the next 3 years. For James Robinson. All right, Rafael Esparza is our guest. And let's head out to Las Vegas to get the very latest from Rafael. How you been, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well, man. Everything is good. Did you do anything special tonight for the NBA draft?
We had quite a few prop bets for the NBA draft. So far, we're getting ready to do the 6th pick. No, I'm a little shocked there's no trade so far. And at least not that I know of. I thought for sure the Bulls were going to maybe try to get the Golden State number 2 pick. But I guess the news of Klay Thompson's right leg, maybe that kind of halted the Golden State for trading that pick. So far, no trade. So I'm a little bit shocked in the NBA draft right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, we had a couple before, but really not a lot of activity since the NBA has, in fact, gotten underway. Anything, you know, more coming in? On the election, has most of the money been paid out? Are some books still waiting to pay out? What's the latest there in this mess?
We're still waiting. I mean, because the electoral official vote is not until, I think, December 14th when they have to officially tell in the tallies and all that. So either if someone concedes, so I'm not going to say who, or we're going to wait for that official electoral vote to come out. There's probably one. I'm hoping someone concedes and says, hey, I lost, whatever, and then we'll cash out. I've talked to every book that booked the election, and pretty much everyone's saying the same thing. We're going to wait for the official electoral vote, or if someone concedes and says I lost, then I'm moving on.
Are you posting Heisman Trophy props?
Yes. Well, we will have a Heisman Pro. I think we might have taken him down just because of the games going on right now. But we've had him up pretty much for the whole college football season. I mean, it's been a teeter tottering between the top three picks. It was either Trevor Lawrence and then a guy from Ohio State. Now Florida Lux is getting a lot of play in, so it's been fluctuating. It's probably the biggest right now. I think we had Kyle Trex from Florida QB. I think we have him at plus 150 with Justin Fields and Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence pretty much neck and neck. Mac Jones will probably have a big week again this week, so his name might pile up some more.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his numbers. He's a Jacksonville kid. You look at his numbers, they're absolutely outstanding. And, you know, I talked about this a great deal last night. If both these teams win out here, I think the winner of that game in Atlanta has a real good chance of winning the Heisman, unless Trevor Lawrence puts up ridiculous numbers and he gets all that love if he knocks off Notre Dame in a rematch. Of course, he didn't play the first time they faced one another.
Yeah, I mean, but hey, Zach Wilson, BYU is getting a lot of love all of a sudden. He's coming late strong. They're undefeated, and so BYU, well, look out for BYU.
Yeah, and I'm a Heisman voter. It's interesting when you look at the votes that are tabulated, and, you know, one thing that may hurt Trevor Lawrence or any of the quarterbacks we mentioned is those three are in the Deep South. I mean, Clemson, Alabama, and Florida, yet you got a guy like Zach Wilson way out in Utah, and I still think the Big Ten's going to get involved here with what happens with Justin Fields. You got some major media markets that will probably favor him there in the Midwest. All right, Raphael, it's not a good weekend around here. Miami's off. Florida State now is a 35-point home dog against Clemson. What's your thought on an enormous number like this with a proud program? Do you leave something like this alone, or do you go heavy on the favorite?
For me, it's either total or just leave alone. I mean, and I think that's the way the bettors are going to do that. I don't think the bettors are going to jump on Clemson. I think they'll probably look at the total. Especially the way Clemson's defense gave up 47 points to Notre Dame. So that just tells you Florida State could put up, let's say, hopefully maybe 20-plus points, so that hopefully they'll get some lopsided score like when they beat Georgia Tech 73-7, or even when they play Miami when they put up 42 points. So I think it's total or just pass, and if you're a Florida State fan, there's other games to watch besides watching this game.
Florida 31.5, you know, in Nashville. But as we just talked about, it seems like every week Kyle Trask is throwing for 5 or 6 touchdowns. What's your opinion on this?
If I had to choose one that I was going to bet, it would be Florida. Because let's face it, Vanderbilt's just awful. And they give up points at will. And like I said, I think now that people know Kyle Trask is, the media knows he's a betting favorite. I think they're going to let him throw around. If he put 63 points against Arkansas, which Arkansas's defense is much better than Vanderbilt's defense, I think this could be another lopsided game. So if I had to choose Clemson or Florida, I would bet Florida with that big number.
All right, let's wrap it up with the Jaguars right here. They're at 1-8. They're taking on the only undefeated team in the NFL in Pittsburgh. I think Jacksonville showed a week ago against a very good football team that, you know, at least they're playing for 60 minutes. Pittsburgh by 10 on the road. What do you believe?
I agree. Jacksonville's playing all 60 minutes, even though they might not win games, but they're playing for a lot of heart. And I think they cover this game. I think Pittsburgh wins by a touchdown. They haven't, I know they're 7-2 against the spread, but they've started off slow a lot of these games. So if Jacksonville can put up maybe 7 quickly, now you're sitting pretty. The only thing that scares me, Pittsburgh's defense the last two games look like they're improving week after week. If we get a Pittsburgh defense, then they might get ugly. But I'm still going to stick with that. I just think Pittsburgh's win by 7.
You all during the summer was not a believer that we'd have a full college football season. And, you know, you nailed it with the Big Ten and the Pac-12. And they've attempted to come back, but we're seeing all these cancellations. I'm really surprised, Raphael, that college basketball is beginning as early as it is next week. What's your feeling there? How much of this season do you think they're going to be able to get in?
I think they're going to get in some, but I really think if they can finalize the bubble for March Madness or May Madness, whatever M's they're going to play this tournament in, I think they will work because they lost a lot of money on TV and canceling March Madness. I think we're going to see a college basketball tournament I would think that would probably go. But for the whole season, I think we're going to see the same thing we've seen in college football, a lot of cancellation games. The only thing college basketball has with that college football is there's less players. There's less players on a team. There's less coaches. That's the only benefit. But I think we're just going to see a lot of cancellation games, just like how we're seeing in college football.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Tell us what's going on right now at MyBookie, MyBookie.com.
We got a big weekend of football, some great UFC fights going on. The MLS playoffs kick off in action this weekend as well, so don't forget to jump over to MyBookie, sign up. We got some great MAC action Tuesday, Wednesday. And when MAC football's on TV, just bet the over. Don't tell the bosses I told you that, because there's no defense being played in the MAC. So jump over to MyBookie.ag, get that 100% sign-up bonus, and sign up today.
All right, how about that? A release there by Rafael Esparza. Rafael, always a lot of fun. Good to hear from you. We'll talk again real soon.
Take it easy. Have a fantastic weekend.
There he goes, Rafael Esparza. Bert's now telling me I sound better. I blew my news. You know what I did? Because I didn't feel like walking to the restroom. Whatever. Blew my nose in the bottom of my shirt.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, listen, I mean, that's the way you got to overcome things. I got a washer at home. I'll just throw the bad boy right in there.
But you got a bathroom that's over there that's like six steps.
Yeah. It's called radio embellishment, bro. You're supposed to play with me. You're supposed to say that's gross, Blue. I can't believe it's drooling all over the place. Of course I didn't blow my nose in my shirt. But you're supposed to have fun with that and be like, oh, my God, I'm going to puke, not this and that. Not calling me fat and lazy.
I'm not calling you fat and
Did
lazy.
Did you hear that, Denny? He just called me fat and lazy for crying out loud.
Exactly what he said.
I mean, my God. Unbelievable.
Now, the two-minute drill. Delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's.
The fan favorite chili con queso is back. A mix of Moe's famous queso, jalapenos, and ground beef. Order at Moe's.com or through the Moe's app.
I know you've done that before or taken the sleeve. And I mean, come on. Well, that's part of being a man.
I wasn't going to say anything. But when I walked in the door, RJ did look at me and go, I cannot believe that I have to work with this fat, lazy guy. And I thought it was a little weird at the time, but, you know, you know, RJ's rough like that, though.
He is. I mean, you know who he is?
Who?
He's a silent assassin.
He's not so silent, though.
I'm guessing he's got one, maybe two bodies buried behind.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Behind Derek 9117 Hogan Run. I'm going with two bodies.
He's definitely the guy that's either going to be really successful in the radio industry or we're going to see him on Fox News for some crazy stuff in 15 years.
What is with you in that, Denny? Because the last time that he done said something like that, he said, RJ's going to find an adult beverage that he likes, and then you're going to be like, you remember RJ? I saw him at the stoplight.
RJ's never had a sip. He's never had a sip.
We all know that guy, right? We all know the guy that lived on the straight and narrow their whole life, and mm-hmm. then they gave in one time, and the next thing you know, they're like, they're scraping the bottom.
Yeah, it reminds me of my high school girlfriend. I thought she was a nun. Look at her now. She's got 14 kids and on her fifth marriage.
14.
I'm just kidding. She's a good old wholesome Irish Catholic girl.
Good
old Irish Catholic girl. Oh, she's a good, yeah. No, she never made it. She stayed there. She went to Harvard. Can you believe that?
Oh, nice.
My girlfriend went to Harvard.
RJ seems like a Harvard type.
And I left and went to Florida State.
Yeah, well, worked out. Who wins in a football game right now, Harvard or FSU? Harvard hadn't played. So
where's the game going to be played?
Neutral site.
It's going to be played in Boston, I'm absolutely picking Harvard.
It is the Atlanta Kickoff Classic next year.
Yeah.
Harvard and Florida State is the JV game before the real one.
If Fitzy comes back and has, I don't know, Harvard, but you know what? I've been to a Harvard-Yale game before.
I've heard that's awesome.
It's a pretty good rivalry now.
Yeah.
All those wicked smart kids,
yeah.
they get all ferocious and all that type of stuff.
But, yeah, it's not on my bucket list, but I have heard it's fun.
Now, you play in front of like 7,000 people.
In a stadium that's like 200 years old, right?
Yes. Very, very old, very archaic right there in Cambridge, Massachusetts, unless you make the track over to Yale, Connecticut. I've never been to Yale.
Mm. I didn't even know it was in Connecticut.
What do you got coming up tonight?
Some NBA draft. I mean, for people that don't know, that is mm-hmm. going on.
We've been talking a lot about RJ's been giving us incredible draft analysis tonight.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to go home and write an article about it.
Right?
Sorry, RJ.
I love his articles.
So we'll talk that. We'll obviously get into some Jags Steelers talk. But as always, we'll focus a lot on college football. I heard you talk about the Heisman. I want to get into that as well. You actually stole a little bit of my thunder because I want to talk about the Zach Wilson kid from BYU. So we'll get into all that tonight.
Yeah, when do they play next? I want to look that up real quick. Hopefully they play a very late night, Saturday night game. That'd be nice.
They don't have any big games left.
No,
though.
But
that's
just
the problem.
I want to see this kid spin. And I've only really seen him once so far this year. Oh, God, they play at 3 o'clock
in
Provo against North
so
Alabama.
So they only have two games left?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and dig up a lot of film.
Yeah.
In order to watch him.
He don't have a chance then.
Yeah, 3 o'clock, I'll put it on at my house if I can get it on ESPN3. I don't know if I can usually find them, but every game on DirecTV.
I mean, ending the season with North Alabama, San Diego State, and ending the season, you know, two weeks before everybody else does isn't going to help your Heisman.
No, he's not going to win a Heisman.
No.
Heisman Trophy, I can tell you right now. I mean, you know who the candidates are, but the winner of Alabama, Florida, it's going to be huge. I think the only thing that's going to be bigger than that is – if you get the rematch with Clemson, Notre Dame, and they dress that up as like, oh, my God, can you believe it? Lawrence is back, and they annihilate Notre Dame. But, you know, be cautious about the South because I've followed the voting on this the way it's tabulated. You got three quarterbacks in the deep South with Jones and with Trask and with Lawrence. You got Fields hanging out in the Midwest – all alone, and this Heisman is a Heisman award. I'll tell you, it is a little bit disappointing to see how these votes come in. You talk about geographically being dominated by the teams that are in the market that you work for instead of expanding on who should really be the Heisman Trophy. Well, it's kind of disappointing.
There's so much football on TV now, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much. But the one thing I'm excited about is it looks like we actually won't know who the winner is until it's announced.
Right.
The last couple of years, it's been, really only one guy needs to go.
Right.
So, I mean, there could be four guys there that all have a legitimate argument this year. So that'll be fun.
All right. Denny Thompson's coming up right now along with James Coleman and JJ. That's going to do it. Thank you to RJ Saunders. Thank you to John Clayton for joining us tonight. Thank you to Rafael Esparza. And as well, thank you to John Osher. Remember, tomorrow night, we're live at the brand-new Mr. Chubby's. It used to be Bogey's out on or in Ponte Vedra. So we'll be out there from 6 to 8. It's a party sponsored by Miller Lite. We'll have plenty of Miller Lite swag. We'll have Miller Lite beer specials. And I'll have two tickets, compliments of Miller Lite, for the matchup Sunday between the Jaguars and the Steelers. That's tomorrow night, 6 till 8. We'll see you at Mr. Chubby's, the brand new one out in Ponte Vedra. Folks, my name is Rick Ballew. I'll talk to you then.